You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and RadioCafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Supporting social and emotional needs of students and teachers, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And many thanks to the Lanl Foundation for supporting the Radio Cafe. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Laurel Chaitin. She's producer and director of the film Just One Drop, which will be screening on September 30th in Albuquerque, and Laurel will be there at the screening. Tickets have to be bought in advance. We'll talk about those logistics at the end of the program. Welcome, Laurel, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
This is a film about homeopathy. How did you come to make this film? How did you get interested in this quite controversial topic?
That's a great question. First of all, I started as a very big skeptic. Most people that come to homeopathy really do start there. And part of the reason I was so skeptical is I'm from Boston and I'm in the mecca of the medical world. And I thought homeopathy made no sense and was really stupid. And I had a friend in Santa Fe. I was living in Santa Fe and she had some illness and she was going to see this MD homeopath in Los Angeles. And I remember she was, you know, waiting to go see him. And I'm thinking to myself, she's wasting her time. She's wasting her money. And she's got better. And I started paying attention because I have a chronic condition that the conventional medicine could not help. And so I found myself on a plane going to see this MD homeopath in Los Angeles. And at that time, this is, oh my God, 8, maybe 10 years ago, he was working with kids that were autistic. And he actually knew my work and had seen some of my films. And so he was telling me the work that he was doing with these autistic kids. And, you know, back then, nobody knew what to do. I mean, they still don't know that much. But he was really so passionate about it. And he said, you get better and make a film about this. And I always joke and say doctor's orders. But really what I found was the spark for me was the fact that he was an MD and he practiced exclusively homeopathy. And he was so passionate. So I was really curious, like, what is this medicine and why is he so passionate? So I call that really the spark. But I didn't make the film because I had a miraculous cure. It wasn't that. It was the fact that, one, he was so passionate and I got curious. And then through the 8 years of making the film, I met hundreds of people whose lives had been miraculously changed. And homeopathy is so maligned in most of the media and almost every article I ever see that I felt like at least I could make a film to put the information out there so that people could make up their own mind. So for me, the film is not just about homeopathy. It's about freedom of choice in medicine. So that's really why I made the film.
The thing about homeopathy, it's like a third rail issue or something. Like, you bring it up, it brings up so much emotion in people.
If they know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they know, if they've ever heard of it. But I mean, around here, you know, people have heard of it. But those who dismiss it as quackery are very passionate about that. I mean,
That's true.
Did an interview once with many years ago on the Radio Cafe with a homeopathic veterinarian. And I don't get very many like angry letters from listeners, but I got one. He called the veterinarian. I found the letter, the most deluded, crackpottiest mountebank that he'd heard on the radio station.
No, it's true. And, you know, I'm no stranger to controversial films. I made a film about alien abduction. And I oftentimes think this was a similar experience because what I learned from making that film is that you're pushing up against people's beliefs and fears. And people ask me all the time, like, why is there, it's not that people aren't skeptical. I totally get what it's like to be a skeptic, but there's the debunkers and people are so passionate about debunking, as you find, homeopathy. And what I really have come to feel from working on this film is that, first of all, they truly believe that they're protecting people because they think it's impossible, therefore it's implausible. Therefore, people that practice are charlatans and people that go to homeopaths are wasting their time and money and not getting proper medical attention. So if they were truly to grok what homeopathy is, they would have, and this is what I learned from my alien abduction film, they would have ontological shock, which means their worldview was shattered. And I actually really think that's at the base of why people get such a volatile reaction to homeopathy, because it's asking them to believe something that is so against what they might have learned or what they've been taught.
Let's go back in history, as your film does. One of the things I thought was so interesting was that during the late 18th century, when homeopathy was invented by a German doctor named Samuel Hahnemann, the kind of medicine that doctors were practicing was incredibly toxic. What did it look like? What were the medical standards and practices of that day?
Well, they were using mercury, and they were using leeches, although leeches they still use now. But they were, they had very crude forms of medicine because they didn't know that much back then. So they were causing more harm than good.
And so Hahnemann, in that context, came up with something that in its theory was a precursor to the practice of vaccination. Tell us what that theory is. How did it happen? What was the process by which he came to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of a long, involved process, and we try to really distill it in the film so that you can understand it. But understanding that Samuel Hahnemann was not only just a young, smart MD when he first started, but he was also a chemist, and he spoke a bazillion languages. So he's a very learned man. And he was finding that he was causing more harm than good. So what he started doing is, he really gave up practicing medicine because he felt he was causing more harm. And he started going into translating because he was a linguist. And he was asked to translate Materia Medica, which is a book of medicine. And in translating that, he noticed that the cure for malaria, which was an intermittent fever, the symptoms of malaria, was quinine, which was Peruvian bark, which was quinine. And he also noticed that the poisoning symptoms of that produce the symptoms of malaria. And he found that really interesting. So he said, well, gee, what would happen if I actually started tasting this Peruvian bark? What would happen? So we created this experiment, and he started giving himself doses of Peruvian bark, and he started developing the symptoms of intermittent fever, which were the ones of malaria. And that was reputed to be his aha moment in his career of like, wow, what causes a symptom in someone who's healthy on very small doses will actually cure the very symptom that the person suffers. So that's really what homeopathy means. It means, quote unquote, similar suffering. So that's where he started. That was kind of his seed of inspiration. And then he tried playing around with all different other substances. What if I do this? Anything in nature, anything. He started working with whatever was the medicine at the time and started diluting it. The reason why he was diluting is because these were such toxic medicines. He didn't want to make people sick, but also he didn't want to give people a heavy dose of something because he wasn't sure what the reaction was going to be. So he started diluting it. And then he found, how low can I dilute it? And then it's not just the dilution of what that substance was, but it also, he started shaking it. Now, nobody knows really why he started shaking it. I started asking as many historians as I could and reading all this research, and it's not really known. But what, again, scientists that are looking at it now, it's not the dilution. Dilution, if you just dilute something, you're going to get nothing. But it's actually something happens to the dynamic of the water when you shake it and pound it. So that's called in homeopathy the succussion. So it's the diluting and the succussion. So he found that when he put these together, that the more he diluted it, the stronger the medicine that would become.
And that, if we haven't lost all of our listeners already, I mean, that sounds utterly impossible.
Yeah. I know. Well, that's why homeopathy is so controversial and why it's so fascinating to make a film about it.
Right. So one of the things, again, in the historical record, apparently he helped to cure a town in Germany of scarlet fever. Is that true?
Yeah. It's documented. He started curing at places where they couldn't eradicate a disease. He realized what are the symptoms of the disease, and he had been working with belladonna at the time, and he realized that the symptoms that belladonna would create in a healthy person were similar to the symptoms that everyone in the town had with scarlet fever. So again, he diluted it to whatever that dose was, dilute -, and gave it to the whole town, and he eradicated it in that one particular town. And he started becoming very well known around the world. Homeopathy spread like wildfire. And it still is. I mean, it went around the world.
So what happened next? I mean, after his lifetime, how common was homeopathy in like the 19th and 20th centuries? Who used it? Did it work? I mean, what was, it seems like kind of a lost history.
Oh, well, that's part of the reason I made the film. But actually, what we have to ask ourselves, it's over 200 years old. We're still using it now. It's still being used around the world. Now, a lot of medicines that came about during that time period have fallen away, but homeopathy has not. Homeopathy, as far as I'm concerned, will never die because people use it, and those that use it get results. And so as much as, you know, people might try to kill it because it doesn't make any sense, it, I don't think it's ever going to die. But what happened is during his time period, people started hearing about this medicine, and it kept spreading and spreading and spreading around the world. He came out with a book about homeopathy called The Organon, and that got translated into, I don't know, a bazillion languages. So it really spread. It's all over India. Part of what's been really exciting about this film, unlike any film I've ever made, is what it's been translated, I think, 20 different languages. It's really gone around the world. And there's just a real big hunger for the film and the knowledge, partially because homeopathy is being attacked all the time. But back in the U.S., what people don't realize is that the United States was one of the leaders in homeopathy back at the turn of the century. And in Washington, D.C., in Scott's Circle, there's a big statue of Samuel Hahnemann. Samuel Hahnemann never came to America. He never set foot on American soil. That's how popular he was here. We were the leaders in homeopathy. And what I found really interesting is that very few people in America know about homeopathy now. There were homeopathic ambulances here. There were homeopathic hospitals here. A lot of the big hospitals here started as homeopathic.
The Wikipedia entry calls homeopathy a pseudoscience and lists many studies that have shown it to be no more effective than placebo. And as you talk about in the film, the American Medical Association has been very hostile and very active in opposing homeopathy. One of the things that was interesting about your film was that you focus on a case in Australia where mm-hmm. there was like a meta study where they analyzed a bunch of different studies on homeopathy, found it to be ineffective, and some people through the Freedom of Information Act questioned their methodology. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Because homeopathy has been so controversial, and there have been many, many, many studies done on homeopathy, there are several that show that it does perform better than placebo. And I feel like I have to say that twice because I get told all the time, yes, well, it's not scientific. These are scientific standards, randomized controlled trials that are done on homeopathy that show that homeopathy performs better than placebo. This organization in Australia, the National Medical Research Council, decided that they wanted to do a study. It's really an overview, and they wanted to see as to whether it works or not because they wanted to present it to the Australian public. Now, they came out with this study in 2015, and basically what they said is there is no reliable evidence that homeopathy works. And as you know, the media went crazy over that. This was very big news, and it went around the world. And I got so upset when that study came out because I knew that there was something wrong. Because there are studies that are really good quality studies that show it works better than placebo. Even if there's only a few, how could you even have one if this medicine does not work? So the study comes out. Now, I'm going to just back up a bit, and I'm going to talk a bit about the process of making a film, in that I had a very hard time raising money for this film. I could get no grants, no money, no nothing, and it all came from individuals around the world. 2015, November, I'm basically almost done with the film. And that study that came out in March 2015 really got under my skin. I heard from these people in England who are in my film, and they sent me an email. They said, you might want to know that there's some guy in Australia who's actually investigating that report. So I talked to this guy, Jerry Dendrinos, and he says, Laurel, you wouldn't believe what I'm uncovering. There was a first report that was done, and they hid it because that person, we suspect, came up with saying there is some positive evidence. And they went and did a whole new study. And he says, I feel like this is a David and Goliath story. So this is understanding the film is almost done. I'm out of money. I'm out of time. I don't have a very good film. I don't have a very good story, but I have to finish the film. I had an executive producer at that time, and I told him about it. He says, you find the story, I'll send you to Australia. I found the story. Now I'm on a plane to Australia in February, at that point, 2016. I shot for 2 weeks in Australia, one more year editing the film, and we completely changed the whole film. So that report actually became almost like the backbone, because then what started becoming clear in the making of this film is that it was really told the story of the controversy of homeopathy. So what happened with that report is they were investigating, and they're still investigating. There were so many things wrong with it, and there was so much bias, both on methodology and in terms of the scientific bias that was in that report. And so what happened with that study is they hired a very, very good lawyer who's a health lawyer, and her name is Teresa Nicoletti. And Teresa said, this is one of the most egregious reports I have ever seen. She said, look, you know, it's not that I'm for homeopathy, but I'm for due process. And this report does not answer the question as to whether homeopathy works or not. So what they're doing is the only way that they could combat that report is to go through an ombudsman. So they wrote a whole report to give it to the ombudsman. They're still waiting for a response from the ombudsman. We have no idea what's happening, but it's still in their hands.
Interesting, interesting. I mean, that's a long and interesting story about science and scientific bias. Meanwhile, there is continuing ongoing research about homeopathy, trying to get to the bottom of the science of it, if there is a science of it. I mean, a lot of scientists will say there's no science to it in the first place, and it's a fool's errand. But what is the nature of this research? Has it turned anything up?
One of our main characters, it's funny when you make a film, you don't really know who your main character is. And for this film in particular, like all my other films were very character driven, but I realized the main character was homeopathy, which made it a very challenging film to make. But the people in the film that actually bubbled to the surface that became my main characters in the film, one of them is Alex Tournier, and he's part of the Homeopathy Research Institute. He has a PhD in water research, and he had, again, started as a skeptic. I think he had chronic fatigue, and he said, I tried everything, and I'm just going to try this homeopathy so I could check it off, like, okay, I tried it. And he took a remedy and he went, oh my God, I just had a shift. Something just happened. So because he had a background in water, he got really curious because homeopathic remedies are made in water. So that became his passion. And he had a big career working for this big cancer research in England. And he just changed careers and he says, I'm going to work in homeopathy, which is, you know, could be career suicide for him. But he's so passionate about it. So they just set up this water research lab in Germany. And so he's looking at, his theory is quantum coherence domain. And that is, he's looking at the structures of water and showing that water does change with different remedies, that the actual structures change. So he has a 5-year plan trying to figure out why these little sugar pills work.
Some of the people that you show in your film are people who've tried remedies and been successful with them.
Yeah.
And one of them was a family that had a little boy who, when he was very small, was diagnosed with autism, and he was treated with homeopathy, seemed to get better. Did you witness all this as you were making the film? Did you keep up with this family?
When I first started, way back when, I told you that MD homeopath that I met with, and I started thinking the film was just going to be about homeopathy. And I said, find me a family who shot footage. And he found me this family in New York who sent me 10 hours of home video footage of the kid. And it was like a joke, pardon me, but I call it a filmmaker's wet dream, in that it was unbelievable footage. And when I saw the footage where he was normal and then all of a sudden he's not normal. So I didn't meet him until he was about 6 years old, but I had all this footage from when he was born. And so then we followed her. We had a few interviews with her, you know, as he was growing up. But then she got to a point, now he's a teenager, and she said, I don't want you to shoot anymore because, you know, he was a kid and that's fine. But now, you know, I want to give him his privacy. So did I stay in touch with her? Absolutely. So, yeah, but a lot of people ask me, how is he now? Is he cured of autism? No. Is he better? Absolutely. The mother is convinced that if it weren't for homeopathy, he would be in an institution somewhere.
Very interesting. What about you? You said that you had a chronic condition. Were you helped by homeopathy yourself?
You know, it's a tough question because yes and no. You know, that's why I think it's a fascinating topic. And I always, always tell people if you have something that nothing is helping, definitely try going to a homeopath. I don't like people to suffer. But it's a very complicated medicine. And have I been helped? A little bit. Am I cured? No. And that's why I always make a point of saying this is not a personal film for me and that I was cured. I'm going to actually, you know, make a film about it.
Are there any kinds of illnesses that are more and less responsive to homeopathy? I mean, obviously you wouldn't go to a homeopath if you had a broken bone or appendicitis or, you know, a lot of things. Are there any things that is particularly good at?
That's a really great question, Mary Charlotte. First of all, I always say homeopathy can potentially cure everything and anything, but it doesn't always work for everyone all the time. Broken bone, yes, you would want to have your bone set, absolutely, but homeopathy can cure the healing of it. Homeopathy can be used if you're going for surgery, you take arnica, you're going to actually heal faster. So there's a lot of ways that homeopathy can be used with conventional medicine very successfully. But there's so many chronic conditions is where homeopathy really shines. You know, somebody has allergies, nothing helps. Homeopathy can potentially totally cure allergies. But there's some things that they always say, yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's really easy. But understanding it's very individualized medicine. That's why it's a hard question to answer.
Right.
Just
right.
Because the reason I say it's individual medicine is that you have two people that have, say, asthma. You're going to experience asthma very differently. And so you're going to be given probably very different remedies. I actually do know people that were on asthma medicine and they stopped taking their medicine. I've known so many stories like that.
Yeah, the story of, for example, the story of Steve Jobs who, and I'm not saying it's homeopathy, but
yeah,
you know, he was oh, I'm going to use alternative medicine and that's going to cure me. And it didn't at all. And he died a young and sad death. There is that risk of people trying alternative medicine, not trying conventional medicine and getting sicker and even dying.
Yeah, that Steve Jobs question comes up very frequently. But sure, some people will try something and they're not getting better and they're just in this belief that they're not going to try something else and they end up getting worse. I mean, that's going to happen with any medicine. That's going to happen with conventional as well, is people, you know, have chronic earaches. You know, so they're constantly taking antibiotics. Well, maybe if they went to a homeopath, they could get rid of their earache. So it works in both directions.
Right, right.
And people come up all the time. They talk about belief. You know, isn't it about belief? And I think belief is really interesting. One, I think the mind is incredibly powerful, for sure. Placebo is real. And could it all be placebo? Nobody knows because the mind is that powerful. However, you have a mother who totally believes in antibiotics, right? And they bring their kid to the doctor and the kid has a chronic ear infection. So that's someone who believes in conventional medicine. Then they go to a homeopath and they're totally skeptical and the kid's ear infections go away. So that's why I say, where's belief in that equation?
And sometimes, I mean, one of the arguments is that it works on very small children who don't have belief in the first place because they don't have that conceptual framework yet.
Yeah. Well, not only that, it works on plants. I mean, it's really mind blowing. Well, did you hear that scientist that's in the very end of the film and he's talking about agriculture and he did a whole test. And as I said, everyone starts as a skeptic and he had a baby and his baby, you know, they were feeding the baby organic foods. And now he's working with pesticides in his work. And he felt this tension between the two. So he wanted to work with all organic. And that he fell into the world of homeopathy and created a whole test on using homeopathy in agriculture. And the people that looked at the test results could not believe that he wasn't working with pesticides. And so he says, you know, I was very skeptical about homeopathy. I don't know. But he goes, but now I'm a believer. So it works on plants and it works on farm animals. So that's where I kind of throw belief out the window.
Right, right. Very interesting.
But I have a story. A friend of mine who's a homeopath told me this story that she had, you know, you put your remedies and you put it in water. and she had the remedy. And then she just, you know, they tell you to just sort of throw it into your plant, you know, to get rid of it. And she got up the next day and her plant had totally died. And she said, oh my God, I forgot the power of homeopathy. You know,
why did it kill her plant?
Because that particular plant had a resonance with whatever that remedy was, and it killed it.
Oh my God.
You know, like that's the thing. That's the other thing about homeopathy is everyone says it's so gentle. And we can't go saying that homeopathy can cure X, you know, X number of things and say that it can't cause harm. It actually can cause harm if it's used incorrectly. Now, is it a gentle medicine? Sure. You know, and if you take one remedy, you're going to, you know, is it going to cause harm? Probably not. But if you keep taking a remedy and you're getting worse and you keep taking it, it actually can cause harm.
You will be screening the film in Albuquerque on the 30th of September. Tell us about this event.
This film has been on tour around the world and surely on tour all over the U.S. And I'm using this particular model called theatrical on demand. How that works is somebody signs up to do a screening and somebody is signed up in Albuquerque to do a screening, to host the screening. It's in a theater, it's all ready to go, but they have to get a certain amount of tickets reserved in advance in order for it to be greenlit. The screening is September 30th. And how it works is very much like Kickstarter. You can reserve your ticket, and if the screening doesn't go forward, you don't get charged. Your credit cards don't get charged. But once it does tip, it's actually a tip, then it goes forward, and then we try to sell out the screening. But the Q&As are great. The film works really well in a theater because there's so much discussion afterwards. And I usually have a homeopath there with me, and the person who's hosting this event is a homeopath, I believe. And so they can answer actually those questions. And it's really a great time to just sort of come and talk and see the film on the large screen, which is really fun, and be in community and all that. So September 30th.
I can put a link at radiocafe.org/NewMexican. Yep. But how do you, if somebody's just listening right now, is there a website they can go to?
Well, probably the easiest to go to my website, which is onedropfilm.com. And I'll have it posted there. It's on social media. You can go to the company, which is Gather Films, GATHR.com. This is probably going to be one of our last screenings in the U.S. I mean, it's been on tour almost 2 years. So I'd love it if people would come to the screening.
Excellent. Well, Laurel Chaiten is producer and director of the film Just One Drop, and you can find out more at JustOneDropFilm.com or at Gather.com, GATHR.com. Laurel, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Funding learning initiatives and community programs, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And many thanks to the Lanham Foundation for support of the Radio Cafe. You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at SantaFeNewMexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at RadioCafe.org. And if you want to send us any feedback on the show, ideas, or comments, please write an email to feedback@RadioCafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.